Our daf today is Yudchet. We'll do a refuach lemitzvah. Batina oz Avram Shema Menchana Karmi Panima or the Kneina Bat Rachel Frida Chaya Malka Esther Bat Zipora Daniel Ben Miriam Chaya Ruth Yosef Ben Rachel Leah Bat Rivka Abraham Mordechai Ben Leah. Okay, we are at the bottom of Yud Zayin, the very bottom of Yud Zayin. I'm a bet. Amarle Ravina LeRav. If you remember our topic, we're in the middle of the concept of Zman in Get, the idea of putting a date in a Get. And today we're going to get to what we touched on a little bit in our discussions yesterday about what if you, the whole idea is that the date is obviously the date you write the get. And then the Mishnah talked about writing the get and signing the get at a different time. There was a Machloka Tanakama, Rabbi Shimon, about whether if you wrote the get during the day and signed it at night where the date was no longer the same date, would that be valid? Rabbi Shimon said it's okay. Tanakama said no. The question is, what if you write it and even sign it on the same day, but you don't give her the get till some time passes? So if we're worried, if you remember, just to review, there were the two issues, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, about why Zman and Get is there bechlal. Rabbi Yochanan said the issue is bat achoto. We're worried that you're going to be married to some relative. You're going to want to protect her. Right? Obviously, this isn't even just a relative. It could be any husband who wants to protect his wife. She sleeps with someone else. He doesn't want to not be allowed to be... Remember, also, we didn't discuss this yesterday, but he obviously can't be married to her anymore if she slept with someone else. So it's also in his best interest. It's not just to protect her. So he gives her a get, although the truth is, no, I'm wrong. He can't be married to her in any case, because if they get divorced, she sleeps with someone else, she can't remarry him. So forget that. It's not for his sake at all. So anyway, he'll give her a get. He'll claim that the get was previously, in which case she was allowed to have been with the other guy, and therefore there's no mamzerim problem, there's no ish adish issue, and she doesn't get killed. So that's one reason we need a date. Now, obviously, what if the date, there could be a discrepancy between when it was written and when it was given? Then you're going to have an issue, even with Shemich Pao Bat Achotel. And the other issue is the payroll, about when does the husband give up the rights to the produce of her property that she comes in with before the marriage? And that's from the moment there's a machloket. Is it from the moment he writes the get, we saw? Is it from the moment he signs the get, or is it from the moment he gives her the get? So if you hold, it's from the time he writes the get, then that's why the date is important, because then it'll determine whose payroll they were. Okay? We didn't discuss this yesterday. We're going to see this inside later today, but I just want to sort of preface by saying the reason, according to Peirot, that Rabbi Shimon thinks that it goes, that it doesn't matter the date you signed it, is because he holds it goes by Shaktivat HaGet. And if it goes by Shaktivat HaGet, what's the logic that you would lose Peirot from the time you write the get? If, let's say, you give it the next day, or you give it later, or you sign it later, what's the relevance? Why from the moment you write the get? So this is a psychological thing. Exactly. As soon as you decide you're going to divorce someone, so you're already forfeiting the rights to her property. Okay? In other words, that's all, right? We always discuss this in halacha about at what point is, what point is koveya, right? What's the determining point? So here, okay, I'll give you the flip, okay? I'll give you an example that's like this. There's a whole machloket, we saw this in Ketubot, about when the woman forfeits her right to mizono. Let's say she's divorced, and she, okay, I'll just remind you of this whole thing. When you get a ketubah, what does a ketubah mean? You have rights to get food, mizonot, as long as you haven't demanded, right? And then you always get mizonot, but in the event of divorce or death, you demand the whole sum of the ketubah money. Now, the ketubah money has a sum, the matayim zuz and whatever you might add to it, and it also has the idea that you get food and sustenance. So if you get divorced from your husband, you're allowed to still take mizonot, like a monthly fee, let's say, for your food. But when you demand the ketubah, it's called tovah ketubah tava beit, and you say, I want to get my lump sum ketubah money, then you forfeit your rights to mizonot, okay? And all the more so, once you actually get paid your ketubah money, you can no longer get, you get that one lump sum, you don't get your monthly payment. So there's a whole machlok at what point. So one opinion is as soon as she goes to the beit din, what point does she forfeit a mizonot? Other people say once she starts putting makeup on and she looks like she's interested in getting married. Okay, once she does that, she wants to get remarried, she's clearly cutting herself off from the husband's family. So it's the same thing here. As soon as he decides, right, now this is interesting because without a formal halachic ma'aseh, Right there, she just puts on makeup. That's not a halachic maaseh. Maybe you could say the opinion of Hatova Ketubah Tavah Beit Din. She goes to court and says, I want to get my money. Okay, which by the way, we're going to see in the sugya today about what if someone goes to court to get her ketubah, does that change something also? But that's a separate issue we're going to see later. But that you could see maybe but putting on makeup, that's certainly not a halachic thing, but it's an indicator. So here also, writing the get is not necessarily a halachic act. Now, yes, it's connected with one because it's going to lead to one, but it's not necessarily a halachic act. So let's look inside now. We're going to start reading. So we're at Yud Zayin Amud Bet. Amar Le Ravina Le Rava. Katve Va'ot Be B'Kiste. What if he writes the get and he sticks it in his pocket? Why did he write the get and then stick it in his pocket? Because he thinks De'im Afaisa Tipayis. Maybe he'll make a reconciliation. They'll get back together. Okay, so he sticks it in his pocket in the meantime. So now what's the issue, right? In other words, how does the zman and the get work? Because eventually he gives her the get as time goes on, right? They obviously are mefaisa, okay? Because otherwise this get would be in the garbage. He ends up giving her the get, but as time went on, because he kind of thought maybe we'll get back together. So Amar Leh, they say, no, we're not worried about this case. And that's the whole question is, shouldn't we worry that the date's not going to necessarily match? Because maybe a guy will do this, right? Maybe he'll stick in his pocket, wait a few days, try to work things out, and realize when he can't that it's not going to happen. So Amar Leh, he answered him back, lo maktim inish poranuta lenafshe. Okay? A person is not going to, right, the assumption here, right, first of all, it's interesting, they look at it as a poranut on the husband to have a divorce, but that's because clearly, this guy thought it was a poranut, otherwise he wouldn't have stuck it in his pocket and tried to appease his wife. So they're saying specifically in this case, if he really didn't want to divorce her, then he certainly wouldn't have written the get until it was actually he was going to divorce her. In other words, a guy wouldn't write a get, but in the hopes that he'll work things out with his wife and then eventually give it to her, right? It doesn't make any sense. So therefore, they said, we're not worried about a case like this. Another question. Amar Leh Ravina Leh Rav Ashi. Gitin haba'imi midinat hayam. Okay, we talked about this yesterday. If a get comes from abroad, then obviously there's going to be a big discrepancy between the date of the writing and the date of the giving. Demichtave b'nisan. Here they're giving an example. Okay, you can see how travel was in those days. For example, it was written in Nisan, v'lomatu ad Tishrei. Okay, and it didn't arrive at her till Tishrei. You could say, wow, that's a long time for traveling. Number one, it could be yes. Often the Gemara gives like a time frame. They do Nisan and Tishrei. Like those are their two main. Right. First of all, that's like the machloka between when was the world created? Was it Nisan? Was it Tishrei? There's a whole Nisan and Tishrei are like the central months. So I think they're just giving examples. And they also want to do something that everyone will know clearly. There's a distinction as opposed to like Nisan and Iyar. There's not a lot of time here. They're just kind of giving an example of 6 months. So if it was written in Nisan but not given till Tishrei, mahawilu chachamim b'takanatan. So again, what does this man in the get work? Samar le hanu kali itlehu. Now, this can mean one of two things. Kali Ilihu we know means everyone knows about it. Okay, so now what does it mean everyone knows about? So the assumption was maybe because a get that was sent from Medinat Hayam, what would it need? It would need the Shaliach to say, Bafanai Nechtam, Bafanai Nechtam. He has to do it in front of either two or three people. It has a Ma'amad Siburi, so to speak, and people hear about it. Now, what does this mean? What's the relevance of people here? So people here, they know that in this get, we can't rely on the date. Because they know that the date, they know if something came from abroad, clearly the date is not the accurate date. And then they'd go research. The woman brought her get to try to prove Peirot or mine or Shemayach Pel Batachoto. They would require to bring the witnesses, you know, people who saw the get being given, the Eidei Mesira, and work out what the date was. Okay, so because of that, everyone, okay, the other option is to say no Kali Itle, and everybody knows the date because everyone heard about it, and then it, you know, it became known what the date is. But I think it's more reasonable to say, not that everyone's going to remember the date, but they're going to remember that in this get, since it was a get from abroad, the date doesn't match up, and therefore we have to do further research to know. Whereas in a typical get, we can rely on the date. Okay, in this case, it would be a case where they wouldn't rely on the date. Okay, Itmar. Now we're going to have a different machloka. Me'matai munim leget. Okay, now, what does this mean? We've learned this before, and other people might just be aware of this from Halacha Lamaaseh. A woman who gets divorced can't get married until 3 months have passed from the date of her divorce, whether or not she was living with her husband or not. And this is all because we want to make sure that if she were pregnant, we would have a discrepancy between, we wouldn't know who the father was, because babies could be born either after 7 months, right? Premature babies, or after 9. And therefore, they wait till 3 months pass, and then it'll be clear if she has a baby that is from the new husband. So this is a very basic halacha that we hold by today, and only in exceptional cases can they try to get around it. We've actually talked about this before. So me'ematai monim leget. So now the question is, from what moment, from the date of the writing, from the day of the giving, okay, what does it go by? So we're going to have a machloket. Okay, by the way, all this stuff is charted out. And then you can see where the sugya is going to go from here. If you want to just, I'll give you an overview for a second. It'll be easy with the chart. We're going to have a machloket. We're going to have a question on Shmuel's opinion and an answer. Then we're going to have a braita to support each opinion, okay? Each emora is going to have a braita that supports his opinion. So it shows that what? That not only were the emoraim arguing about this, even the tanaim had an argument about it. Then we're going to show which rabbis fell where, in other words, who paskin like who. And then we're actually going to have a halacha. And you can already see the halacha is going to be like Shmuel. Okay, So Rav Amar Mishat Netina. Rav says it's from the time she gets the get. Ushmuel Amar Mishat Ktiva, from the time the get is written. Matkifla Rav Natan Bar Hoshaya L'Shmuel. So now they ask Shmuel, if you say Mishat Ktiva, Yomru Shtei Nashim B'Chatzar Achat, Zo Asura V'Zo Muteret. Okay, what does this mean? So the Mepharshim explain, Rashi explains, that there was a person who went abroad, and he had two wives. So what does he do? He gave both of his wives a get on the day he left. But it could be that he wrote one of them 2 months earlier, and he was getting prepared for his trip. He wrote a get. For whatever reason, he only wrote for one of them. I'm just giving a possible example. He wrote for one of them a get earlier, and the second one he wrote later, but he gave them both on the day he was leaving. Okay? Because remember, people gave gets before they went abroad just in case they never come back. They don't want their wives to be aguno. So, or they don't want their wives, if they die, to have to do yibum if he doesn't have kids. We also saw that issue. There were men who didn't want their wives to marry the brother, so they did things like this. So now, you're going to end up with a case where each woman will have a different date upon which, right, if you say Mishach Ktiva, one was written, let's say, 2 months earlier, and one was written that day, and yet they both got it on the same day, and yet one's going to be able to get married in a month, and the other one's going to have to wait 3 months. They said, what a ridiculous thing. It's going to look very strange. So they say, so Shmuel, Amar Le Abai, Abai answers for Shmuel, what do you mean? It's not going to look strange at all. Because Zoz Mangi Tamuchiach Aleh, but Zoz Mangi Tamuchiach Aleh. Each has a document with a date, and they each go by that date, so no one's going to think it's strange at all. Okay, he doesn't seem to have a problem with this in the slightest. Okay, now we're going to have the two brayta. Tanya Kavatei DeRav, Tanya Kavatei DeShmuel. Tanya Kavatei DeRav. Here's our proof, our brayta that supports Rav. Hashalech get lishto, v'nishtaha shaliach baderech shlosha chodashim. He sends a get to his wife, but the shaliach didn't get there, right? It took him a few months till he either got on his way or while he was on the way. He waited 3 months. Kshigia get liyadat, tzricha lahamtin shlosha chodashim. Okay? She has to wait 3 months now, obviously, because it goes by shat netina. Ula get yashan ein choshashin. Shaharei lo nityacherima. What's a get yashan? A get yashan is a get where they write, we're going to see this a bunch of times, they write a get, and then in between the time of the writing, I think it's even in the time of the signing, yeah, I think it's after it's signed, until it's given, the husband and the wife are together. And then there's a concern, right, that then it basically cancels the get. It's like we said before, the flip of what we said. Once he writes it, it's clear, right, he doesn't get payroll anymore because he's already intended to divorce her. But if they're then together, then it's puzzle. Okay, then the get is no good, and what does that mean? If they decide to get divorced, they have to rewrite a whole new get. They have to start from scratch. Okay, that get is basically canceled. That's a get yashan. But in this case, even though it might be like, it sounds like a get yashan, meaning it was an old get that was used, but it's not an old get because get yashan is only a problem if there was yichud between the husband and the wife. And here there was clearly no yichud. The get was on the way to the woman. The woman and the man were not anywhere near each other. And therefore, you definitely don't have to worry about get yashan. That obviously didn't have to do with our issue. But, right, our issue was just to prove she has to wait 3 months from the time she gets it.
Get yashan, you're just waiting for Matina?
Yeah, you're just waiting for it to be given.
Okay.
Okay? We'll see more of this later. Yeah.
If the get is being given, me medina tayam, Gamkacha, the husband and wife can't be together.
Right. Well, that's why they're saying this. They're just pointing out that you might have thought it's a get yashan because it sounds get yashan. You have to remember, maybe people didn't know exactly what it was. It sounds like some time obviously elapsed in a real get yashan case because they wrote the get, signed it, and then they were together.
But not even a get yashan. Even a get that is brought directly. If it takes 3 months, if the husband's been away for 6 months and then he dates it. Let's say the husband leaves.
Oh, you're saying why should...
And then he dates it in Nisan, why should she... And she gets...
Oh, you're asking why should she have to wait the 3 months in this case? Right, so that's why. This 3 months is a takana. It's no longer relevant what the situation is, okay? I gave you this example, actually, when we learned this a long time ago, if anyone remembers. But I know Seth deals with cases at work like this, where a couple's divorced for years, years and years, but they have a civil divorce, not a legal divorce. And they finally work out, you know, let's say whatever kind of the situation is. They work it out, and he gives her a get. Okay, this happened in many situations I know where a couple's trying to get married. Let's say they have a conservative get. Okay, this is even a better example. They have a conservative get. And then she goes to get remarried, and they decide she's marrying someone Orthodox, and they want to get an Orthodox get. So they arrange for an Orthodox get, assuming her husband agrees. He gives her an Orthodox get, and now the rabbis say, oh, you have to wait 3 months. Now, I know a particular situation where he was helping someone, and what happened? First of all, till they convinced the first husband, who was conservative and didn't like the idea that, oh, what do you mean? I have to give an Orthodox get what? We haven't been divorced. I was very upset about it. It took them months of negotiating. By the time they finally negotiated, like it was close to the date they were planning to get married. And then the rabbi said, well, now you have to wait 3 months because now you're divorced, right? In other words, where it's totally irrelevant. They haven't been living together. They had a civil divorce. They had a conservative divorce. So actually, in that case, they were able to push it through and get it allowed. But it wasn't easy. In other words, even if, and that's what you see from here, even if they clearly weren't anywhere near each other, it doesn't matter. In other words, the point is, this is a takana. It's across the board whether they've been together or they haven't been together. So that's how it's viewed, okay? But like I said, there are ways to get around it in certain unique situations, but it's not easy. Okay, Tanya Kavate de Shmuel. Here's the brayta that supports Shmuel. Hamashlish get lishto va'amar lo. By the way, in the first case that we saw, Shalech get lishto, just because the Shalech waited 3 months, it could have been, right, how many times do you have something on your desk to mail and it sits there for 3 months, right, till someone actually gets up and goes to the mailbox, which is down the block. So it's very possible that they weren't far away from each other, the husband and wife. It doesn't say he brought it to Medina Hayam. He just sent some messenger to give it to her and the messenger just didn't get around to it. Okay, it could be. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they were so far away from each other. But like I said, even if they were far away from each other, it wouldn't make a difference. Tani kavatei d'shmuel. Hamashlish get lishto. That means he gives it to a shaliach. Va'amar lo, al titneu la ela lachar shlosha chodeshim. And he specifically says, I want you to give it to her only in 3 months. Mishe natnu la muteret linaseh miyad. Okay, now if he gives it to her, she's immediately able to get married. Why is that? Because the date of the get was 3 months earlier, which means that this Tana holds like Shmuel, who said it's from the time of the writing of the get. And again, ulaget yashanin choshashin sharei lo nityachedima. Okay, and clearly they weren't together, and therefore you don't have to worry about get yashan. So now we're going to see the rabbis who hold like who? Rav Kahane, Rav Pape, Rav Ashi, Avde Mishat Ktiva. Okay, they did it based on Shat Ktiva, which means, by the way, these were Maasim Shayu. They acted in their batei din like Shmuel. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Bereid, Rav Yeshua, Avde Mishat Netina. Okay, we very much see this nowadays. Some rabbis go like this, some rabbis go like that. And that's what was going on. And here we have a V'hilchata, V'hilchata Mishat Ktiva. Okay, but at a certain point they paskin that it's from the time it was written. Okay, so therefore we're a little bit mekel here. Itmar. Now we're going to have another question. Me'ematai Ktuba Mishametet. Okay, what is this? Mishamete from Shemitah. Everybody knows Shemitah Ksafim, what happens? Any loans you have outstanding are canceled in the Shemitah year. Now, what if there's certain things that are considered like a Maaseh Beitin? Okay, we've talked about this with a ketubah, where the Beitin requires it, right? Even if you didn't write a ketubah to tell your wife you'll support her and in the event of death or divorce, you're going to give her that amount. Even if you didn't write it, it's as if it was written and it's done. In other words, it's there. Those kind of things are not canceled by Shemitah because they're not considered, right? Shemitah is a loan. This isn't a loan. But there could be a certain point, and this is what we were talking about before, where your ketubah may turn into a loan, where it switches from the maaseh beitin to a loan. At what point does that happen? So we'll see the opinions and then we'll understand it better. Rav Amar mishetifgom vitizkof. Mishetifgom means, okay, pogemet b'ktubata. We actually saw this in ktuba. What's pogemet? She starts to get paid some of the ktuba money. As soon as she starts to get paid some of the ketubah money, and then bitizkof, which means that she goes to the court and she says, I want to get paid back the rest of my money, at that point, it turns into a loan. And at that point, if the shmita year comes along, it will cancel her ketubah. Ushmuel amar, pigma apa pishalo zakfa, zakfa apa pishalo pagma. Even if you have just one of them, then already the ketubah becomes a loan. Okay? So if you started getting paid some of your ketubah money and not the rest of it, then the rest of it automatically, in other words, it moves from being this maaseh beitin to being like a chov for the husband to pay the wife. And then it will be canceled just like Shemitah, you know, just like all Shemitah Ksafim. And also, if you go to the court and say, I want to get my money, then also it goes out of the realm of being this maaseh beitin. It becomes, the beitin says, yes, he has to pay you. Once the beitin says he has to pay you, then it becomes, he has to pay you like a loan. And then it will be canceled by Shemitah. This is a little tough to accept because it's unfair to her that just because she started collecting her money, that now it's going to turn into a loan. Or just because she went to beitin to get it, it's very difficult, I think. Okay, Tanya Kavatei DeRav, Tanya Kavatei DeShmuel. Now we're going to see Braito to support each opinion. Tanya Kavatei DeRav, Me'ematai Ketuba Meshametet, Mishetifgom V'tizkof. Okay, there you have Rav's opinion. You have to do both. Pigma V'lo Zakfa, Zakfa V'lo Pagma, Eina Meshametet Ad Shetifgom V'tizkof. Okay, there you have it explicitly. That's Rav's opinion. Tanya Kavatei DeShmuel, Ones Uknas Upitoi, Uktobet Isha Shezkafan B'malve, Mishamtin. Imlav ein mishamtim. Now we're going to see this isn't just relevant for ketubat isha. It's for any chov that halacha requires you to do by law, right? Like ones, if you rape somebody, then you have to pay them the knas for raping. Knas, like any knas that Rashi says here, the knas here is the mosi shemra. Okay, if you're a mosi shemra on your wife, right, you claim she didn't have betulim and it turns out she did, so you have to pay. And pitoy, right, that's even when you seduced a woman, you also have to pay, and, you know, she did it willingly. And the ketubat isha, all of those things, as soon as you're zikafan b'malve, okay, you turn it into a loan, which basically means you went to court and opened a file, you know, and the court ruled that you owe the money, so that he owes the money to you, then it's mishamtin. Then it's treated like a loan at that point. V'im lav, but if you haven't done that, then e mishamtin. Me'ematai, now they're going to explain at what point, even though we kind of talked about this, me'ematai niskafim b'malve, mish'at ha'amada b'din. In other words, when's it called zikifa? Okay? When they go, they're ha'amada b'din. Right, so ha'amada b'din, one second, I want to make sure. Ha'amada b'din means... Right, so they say here it's even just going to stand up in the court to say, I want my money. Okay, it's not even that the Beit Din is paskening. It's even the earlier stage of just going into court and saying, I demand that he pay me this money. At that point, it becomes a loan. Okay, you have to think that if you're smart, right, you won't do that if it's going to be a Shemitah year soon. Because you know then your chov will be canceled. That's why I said this whole thing is quite difficult in terms of, you know, that here they're deserving of the money, and yet the Shemitah is going to come and cancel it. I find it tough to grasp.
But that doesn't that apply in almost any Shemitah situation, presumably if there's a loan outstanding.
But there's a loan, but this is different than a loan. A loan, you take a loan, you know you're getting into this. You know, I'm sorry, if you lend people money, you know that. But here...
There's less control.
Right. In other words...
Two questions.
Yeah.
Can you collect these payments without going to Beit Din?
Yeah, you should be able to collect them without going to Beit Din.
So there is a way.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a way she can collect them. This is just once you bring it to the court. Like, let's say the person's not paying you. So then you go to court to claim the money. And then it's going to end up getting canceled.
Can you do a pruse ball on these things?
So I guess in theory you could do a pruse ball on these things. It would make sense. If Shemitah Ksafim applies, then you should be able to do a pruse ball on
this.
Right, there is a way to...
Right.
It seems to me once it goes into a halva'a category, What?
I said if the husband's already refusing to pay and being difficult enough that she has to go to court, he's not likely to agree to sign a
prosbol.
Does he have to sign a
prosbol? Or is it just the person
judge,
who...
I think it may just be the judge.
The Beit Din decide... Right. No, he has to... No, you sign a prosbol, but that's for...
But isn't everything together?
Any loans... Right. Usually the malveh signs the prosbol so that he can get paid back. So in this case... They should be able to sign it to get paid back. We're going to get to Prusbol when we get to the fourth parak, so we'll deal with it all there. Okay. Amar Shmuel, Ktuba kimase beitin damya. Mama se beitin. Okay, so now we're going to, they're trying to fit things into categories. Okay, so what they're saying is, a ktuba is like a mase beitin, that's what we said. So mama se beitin nichtevim vayom v'nechtamim balayla. Okay, so since a ma'aseh beitin, okay, which is like a chiyuv psak hadin, that if they wrote it during the day and they signed it at night, it would be valid. So a ketubah also can be written during the day and signed at night. Ketubatei de Rabbi Chiya bar Rav, ichtuv bayom ve'ichtum balayla. Okay, the ketubah of, I don't think this means his ketubah, I think this means it was a ketubah they brought in front of him. It was written during the day and signed at night. Hava Rav Hatam, Rav was there, velo amar lehu velo midi. Okay, and he didn't say anything, like he didn't say, oh, this is a problem. Lema kishvul svirale. Should we assume that he holds like Shmuel, that if you write it during the day and sign it at night, it's fine? And it's, now we're learning that maybe Rav disagreed with Shmuel about this. We don't know, right? Everything so far we've seen Rav and Shmuel arguing today. So now they want to know, does Rav agree with Shmuel about this issue that a ketubah that was written during the day and signed at night is okay? Or does he think it has to be written during the day and signed on that same day? So what happened? Rav was there. He didn't say anything. So they want to say, right? Oh, here you have it. He must not disagree with him. And they said, no. That case was asukim b'oton yan havu. They were still, what does that mean? Yes, it's true that in most shtarot, you can't have it written during the day and signed at night, but that's only if you took a break. But if you were working from the daytime and it turned into night and you're still working on that same shtar, the sofer is writing it and it's just taking him a while, or you started late and, you know, it goes into, and you think about those weddings, right? It's a whole issue. You got to get it in either before shkia or after shkia. In this case, if you started it, you get to continue it. It doesn't really matter. Okay? So if you're asukim b'otonyan, it's fine. So they say, Rav didn't say anything because they were asukim b'otonyan in this case. Doesn't prove anything about if you took a break and then signed it later that night. And how do we know that this is okay? Titania, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, lo shanu ela kasha'en asukim b'otonyan, aval asukim b'otonyan kasher. Okay, so all the issue of shtarot that are written during the day and signed at night that are psulim, that's only if they weren't still dealing with the same thing and they took a break. But if they didn't take a break, then it's allowed. And now we're going to get to the Mishnah of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's opinion in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Machshir. Remember, he allows this get that was nechtav bayom v'nechtam balayla. Okay, so what did we say? Right? That he says, kol agitim shenechtavu bayom v'nechtavu balayla psulim, chutz mi gitei nashim. Whereas Tanakama said, even gitei nashim were psulim. Amar Rava, my time is Rabbi Shimon. And here it's what we talked about in the very beginning of Shir today. Kasavar, he holds, kevan shenatan enav legarsha shuv ein lo perot. Okay, as soon as he decides to divorce her, he already forfeits his rights to her property, which makes a lot of sense. So now they want to know, Amarish Lakish, lo hichshir Rabbi Shimon, ela la'alter. Aval, mikam va'ad asara yamim, chayshina, lo, chayshinan shema pies. Okay, what does he say? He says it's only if he gave the get immediately. But if he writes it during the day and signs it at night and then doesn't give it like for the next 10 days, then it doesn't work. Because what are we worried about? We're concerned maybe in between those 10 days they got back together and they were mityacheh biyachad, and then it becomes a concern that maybe it was a get yashan. In other words, we don't know. Nobody was watching them. We don't have edim to know, did they go into a room alone together? Did anything transpire? So therefore, what are we concerned about? We're concerned that if time elapses, that it's going to be a get yashan. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu mikam ba'ara sarayamim, im ita de pies kala it le milta. She says, what do you mean? Everybody's going to know if they get back together. Okay, this is like, right, small towns, everybody knows everything. Okay, I think it's Rashi who says, I can't remember where I saw this. Yeah, Rashi says it. Shekishehichnis, okay, everyone will know when they get back together. Why? Vashcheinot shom'im, tagar uktata, sheben ish lishto. The neighbors all hear the screaming, okay, when they're fighting. So when it's all quiet, nobody hears anything, they all know that they must be back together. Okay, very interesting, right? But obviously this is also societally based, right? Depending on how people lived and how private people are about their things. And also not just society, but some people are more open and, you know, about things, and some people are more closed. So obviously this would only apply in certain situations. Anyway, it's interesting. Okay, so machloket Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about whether Rabbi Shimon would be machshir if time elapsed, right? In other words, remember, the Mishnah only talked about a day and that night, right? Now, what if more time elapsed before it was given? And then there's the question, are we concerned, Shema Piyesen, it would be a chashash for a get yashan, or are we not concerned, right? This is different, obviously, than the other cases that we saw where he already gave it to a shaliach, and it was the shaliach who delayed. Or took, right, or either his traveling took a while, or he just didn't give it for whatever reason. But that's different than the husband not giving it himself,
you
right?
You just saw on the other page that he put it in his pocket in case they would get back together.
Right, exactly. It's like that case, although there we said we weren't super concerned about it. This is a case where there was already a big delay, and therefore we're concerned. And maybe that would be the case. That was saying, milachatchila, when we write any get, should we be concerned that someone's going to stick it in his pocket and not give it right away? And then we said, we're not really worried about that. But here we're saying where it actually did happen and he did delay, even though, right, in general, we may not be concerned for it, but in the case where it did happen. Okay, Itmar. Now we're going to have another machloket, which is going to relate to something we saw previously. Amar la asara kitvu get li ishti. If somebody says to 10 people, write a get for my wife. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shnai mishum edim v'kula mishum tnai. Really, only 2 people are the actual witnesses, because you only need 2 witnesses to sign a get, but yet he asked 10. So the other 8 are just fulfilling his condition. It's almost like you gave a get upon condition, right? So there's all sorts of gets on condition. We're going to see lots of them. So it's like he's saying, yes, this is a good get, but it will only be given to her once all 10 people here sign the get. Okay. Rish Lakish amar kulam mishum edim. When he says to the 10 people, write a get for my wife, he actually wanted all of them to be witnesses. Obviously, we're going to see soon what's the relevance, whether you call them witnesses or whether you call them that they're just fulfilling the condition that the husband stipulated. Okay, maybe you can think already, right? What's going to be the obvious? If you have people who are pasul le'edut. So if they're pasul le'edut, but you don't need edut here, you need the kiyum t'nai. You follow? In other words, he said, 10 people, write this get. Okay, we're going to see in a minute exactly what the situation was. Because if you say 10 people write the get, they don't actually all need to sign. But we'll see that in a minute. But assuming they all need to sign. So the question is, do they need to sign as witnesses? Or do we just need 2 of them to sign as witnesses and the rest of them are just a fulfillment of his condition that he said, that he wants them all to be written here, but they're not actually functioning as witnesses. So first the Gemara asks, Hechidami, what's the case? Ilema delo amar lehu kulchem. If he didn't say the word, remember we saw this case of kulchem, he didn't say all of you have to write the get. He just, in front of 10 people, said, write a get to my wife. Okay? So now, if he says, write a get to my wife to 10 people, bahatzna, there's a Mishnah on this. And what does it say in the Mishnah? Amar la asara, we're going to see this on Daf Samach Vav. Amar la asara kitvu get li ishti, echad kotev v'shnayim chotmim. If he says to 10 people, write a get for my wife, since you really only need 2 or 3 of them to be functional, only 2 or 3 of them need to be functional. He says 10 people write a get to my wife, so 2 of them write it, and 1 of them gives it, right? I say 2 or 3, because it could be 2 of them write it, and 1 of the other 10 give it, or 2 of them write it, and 1 of the 2 that wrote it give the get. Okay?
I don't even understand. 10 people write a get, are they deciding about the content of the get? What does that mean, 10 people write a get?
No, so 10, so what it really means is 10 people are signing the get. That's why I actually read this wrong. It's if he says to 10 people, write this get, okay, then only 1 of them actually writes. I forgot to talk about the writing. I was talking about the signing and the giving. This is not, we're not talking about the giving. We're talking about the writing of it. So obviously only 1 of them writes it because you don't need 10 people writing it. And you, since you really don't need 10 people signing it, so only 2 people sign it, because that's all you need. So basically, I was in front of, I was in a public place, and I said, can you guys take care of writing my get? So what does that mean? It doesn't mean I meant all of you guys take care of writing my get. I just meant, of you, can someone take responsibility for writing my get? In which case, you only need the minimum. You need one person to be the writer. If that person wants to sign, great. If, and then you bring another one, or 2 other people sign, it doesn't really matter. But, Ella, it must be da'amar lehu kuchem. But if I say, I want all of you to write my get, then what does it mean? Exactly what Cindy said. What does it mean you want everyone to write the get? What it means is, by the way, we've seen here before that ktiva and signing are get a little mixed up here, right? Sometimes when you mean writing, you really mean signing. Okay, so what he means is when I say to 10 people, I want all of you to write my get, obviously you're not going to all write it. I don't want each of you to write a line or something. What I want is one person to write the get, but I want you all signed on it. So that's the case that they're having a machloket about. So now if I say the word kulchem, and then I need all 10 of you to be signed on it, now becomes the machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Okay, whether we view this as, let me make sure, I think Rabbi Yochanan is the kum tonight, right? 2 function as edim, and 8 function as mikaimei tnai, right? They're just fulfilling the condition of the husband. Meaning, they're going to all scribble their name on it, but it doesn't have halachic validity as edu. Okay? Whereas Rish Lakish thinks that he wanted, actually, 10 witnesses to this, okay? For whatever reason, right? Maybe he wanted it to be a public thing, or who knows why he said this. This is just, right? We're not saying someone should say this. We're saying if someone happened to say this, right? And then again, it's always a question of, goes back to all of our questions we have about these things. What did he intend? Did he intend to make them all witnesses, or did he intend that he just wanted a lot of people signed on the get for whatever reason? Okay, so now, my binayu. So what's the difference between the 2 opinions? Where's there a nafkamina between them? Ika binayu dechatum beitrei minayu biyome ve'inach mikav adasara yamim. If 2 of them signed it on the day it was written, and the rest of them sign it later in the week. Okay, so what did we say, right? If it's signed later in the week, it's a problem. Okay, so manda amar mishum tnai. If they're just fulfilling the condition, then it's going to be kasher because it has 2 valid witnesses on the document, and it's fine. It signed it on that day. Umanda amar mishum edim pasul, because all the edim needs to happen on the day. Because what does it really mean if you say they're all edim? The get is not actually considered a signed document until every person has signed. If that's the case, then when people sign 3 days later, that's going to pasul the get. Okay, inami, another nafkamina. This is the one I already mentioned. Kigon shenimtza achad mehem karov upasul. Right, if one of them happened to be a relative of his, or they were pasul le'edut for all the various reasons that we'll get to in Sanhedrin, why people are pasul le'edut. Lamanda amar mishum tnai kasher. If they're just fulfilling a condition, it's still fine. Lamanda amar mishum edim pasul. Okay, ichatem b'tchila karov o pasul. What if the first 2 people were karov or pasul? In other words, what does this mean? Let's say 10 people signed. Of those people, number 1 and 4 were pasul. So what's the story? Do we say the first 2 were the edim and therefore this is no good or not? So, amrei la kasher, v'amrei la pasul. Okay? Some people say it's, 1 second, I want to make sure I understand this. Oh, sorry, 1 second. Yeah, v'shnayim rishonim. What'd you say?
In order for that to work, all 10 have to sign.
Yes, exactly. So Rashi says that. So Rashi says, "Bishnayim harishonim." Let's say the first 2 were pasul. Bechatum chatum hakarov. Okay. Bekulam chatmu bo bayom. It would have to be that everybody signed on that day. Okay. So. Right, they start early in the morning. Well, remember, we talked about also, according to one opinion, they had to all, if you say kulchem, they have to all sign zebifnei zeb. They have to all be present at the same time. So, right, try to get that all together. Okay. Amrei la pasul, amrei la kasher. Tanayhu. Amrei la kasher. Tanayhu. Amrei la, right. Sorry. Amrei la pasul. Amrei la kasher. Tanayhu. Right? The one who says it's kasher says it's just a tanay. And therefore, as long as there's 2 kosher witnesses, it's fine. And amrei la pasul, the one who says it's pasul, what's his concern? Ate lichlufe bekim shtarit alma. In other words, even though it's just a kiyum tnai, it doesn't, right? This is like a great, we all know sometimes there's these halachic loopholes, but halachic loopholes aren't always obvious to the random eye, right? Not the typical person doesn't always understand these halachic loopholes. So therefore, they're going to see this get was signed by non-kosher witnesses, and they're going to say, oh my God, look, this seems like if we have non-kosher witnesses on other documents, it's okay. And because they don't realize that it's Kiyutnai in this case, because it was, right? So it's, you know, whether you view it, you know, since it's a machlag, it's Kiyutnai, it's an Eidut, that's not going to be visible to the average person, and therefore they're going to get confused here. Okay. Okay, we'll continue a little more. Hahuda Amar Leila Asara. There was a case where a guy said to 10 people, Kitvu get li ishti. Hatum be tre minayu biyome. Okay, so two witnesses signed on that day. V'inach, and the rest of them, mikam ba'ad asara yamin. So, ata the kamej Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Amar le, kedai hu Rabbi Shimon l'smoch alav b'shat hadchak. Okay, we should hold like Rabbi Shimon b'shat hadchak. Okay, and therefore, if it's a shat hadchak, you know, an urgent situation, then we can rely on Rabbi Shimon. So now they say, what do you mean? This case isn't really Rabbi Shimon. Why? Because this case, right, what happened? They signed later on in the week. V'hamarish lakish lo hichshir Rabbi Shimon ela la'alter. Right, remember when there was a whole thing about was Rabbi Shimon machshir la'alter or not? And Rabbi Shlakish says, no, he wasn't machshir la'alter. Aval mikam ba'asarei yamim lo. I'm sorry, he was only machshir if it was like that night. But he didn't allow it later in the week. So what did they answer? No, ba'ayika Rabbi Yochanan sfirale. He holds like Rabbi Yochanan on that issue. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan said Rabbi Shimon is machshir if it's later in the week, right? It's not a problem. So now they say, well, if you're going to hold like Rabbi Yochanan, if Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, what are we assuming here? If Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said we're allowed to rely on Rabbi Shimon in this case, so what must be the situation? He holds like Rabbi Yochanan that when Rabbi Shimon's machshir, he's machshir even after, you know, up to 10 days. But now they say, but if he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, then ha'am Rabbi Yochanan shnai mishum edim kula mishum t'nai. In which case what? You wouldn't even need to hold by Rabbi Shimon here. It wouldn't need to be only b'shat hadchak, because already the first two witnesses signed on the first day. And therefore there's no issue at all. We don't even need to talk about relying on Rabbi Shimon. So if he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, then it should be fine all the more so. So what's going to be the obvious answer? He holds like Rish Lakish about that you need all 10 to be Edim, but he holds like Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Shimon was Machshir even if all the Edim didn't sign immediately, you know, within that first, the next night. Okay?
Sort of like having your cake and eating it.
Right. Well, we see this a lot where we start to say, well, if you hold like him, you must hold like him across the board. And they say, no, hold like him in one, you hold like him in the other. And it's not crazy.
Which isn't so terrible, but.
Right. That's against what they say, you can pick and choose your psukim, you know, by your rabbis, right? You can't do that, right? Here you see they do.